I want to speak on and want to touch up on the subject that is called accessing and possessing your inheritance. We've been touching up on different subjects, such as accessing different realms in the spirit, accessing the books of heaven and different aspects. But today I want to touch up on inheritance. Do you know that you have heavenly inheritance? How many of you read this in the Word of God about inheritance, heavenly inheritance? Have you ever thought, what is that inheritance? How do I get hold of it? How do I step into it? How can I apply that to my life? And today we're going to read about it. We will read a lot of Word of God. You know me, every time we come, we read a lot of Word of God. So, and as I usually say, if you did not read your Bibles during this week, there is a great opportunity for you to catch up with the Word of God. Okay, so we will be digging today, and mostly we will be digging from a book of Hebrews. I love that book. There's so much depth. There's so much revelation. There's so much like golden nuggets of wisdom and understanding of God. So today we will explore a certain chapter, okay? And when I was praying and I asked the Lord, Lord, what would you like me to release? What would you like me to speak about? The first, it just instantly, you know, sometimes you just have to press and get, you know, the Word of God. But this time it was so instantly, it's like the Lord was waiting for me to ask. It's like He was waiting for somebody to come and just, you know, grab it from Him. And I've heard in my spirit so clearly, inheritance, speak on my inheritance. Because we still live in the days when we see church, His children approaching God as orphans, as beggars, and they don't understand what they have access to, what inheritance they have access to, but that inheritance stays unclaimed. Right now, Scripture says that we all are blessed with all heavenly blessings. And we have inheritance in Him. But somehow church is still walking defeated, broken, depressed, like in spiritual poverty. The church who cannot even help themselves. But I do believe things are changing now. Things are a lot better than they used to be 20 years ago. I remember when we were just starting doing encounters and things we had to encounter and the mentality, thinking of people, it used to be a lot worse, guys. In these 20 years, I see major, major progress. We are in a better place now. So I do see how God is healing His body. He is revealing Himself. He is taking us deeper. He's taking us through the process. But today, He wants to reveal to you what your inheritance is and what you can have access to today and where He's taking us. So first, I want to mention that there's two types of inheritances, okay? There's one, your personal one, and there's one corporate one, okay? So what is your personal inheritance? Those are all promises of Jesus. Everything that He promised you in the Word, this is yours to claim, this is yours to grab on, okay? And like your healing, freedom, deliverance, joy, your saved loved ones, like prosperity, like a lot of different things that God, that Jesus died for, they legally, they belong to us. And then there are another one that is corporate. This is something the church still yet has to step into, okay? Do you remember in the book of, I believe in the book of Numbers, when Israelites, when they were still walking through the desert around the mountain, and then God sent 12 spies into the promised land, in the Canaan land, right? And only two of them came back, and they were ready to possess that land, Caleb and Joshua. Out of 12, only two. And you would ask, like, Lord, but these two were ready. Why wouldn't you give them that promised land? Why? Because of the other 10, they had to delay and they had to wait before they take their inheritance, what you promised them. So, and this is what happens in the body of Christ. You know, somebody once asked Bill Johnson, you guys know Bill Johnson, right? Somebody asked Bill Johnson, why we don't see like a lot of healings in the body of Christ? Why we don't see a lot of, like, yes, we hear like things here and there, but there's no like a lot. There's not like, you know, like where there are major movements when people like all of, you know, get healed and we see these crazy creative miracles and like somebody's rising from the dead again. We hear cases here and there, but we don't see it in the body of Christ as often, right? And this is what Bill Johnson said. He said, the church has not yet possessed that territory in the spirit. It's not that God does not have enough power, or you're not worthy, or something is wrong with you that, you know, he cannot use you in such way. But God is maturing the whole body, like to take possession over, you know, over spirit of death, over, you know, like mental diseases, because we haven't seen much like healing of mental diseases in the body of Christ, right? Like Down syndrome, like schizophrenia, like bipolar diseases, like a lot of this is like something the church has not stepped into yet. But it doesn't mean that we have to, you know, to stop doing what we're doing, to start praying, to stop pressing. This is still waiting for the church. So that's something God wants to take church corporately in, not just one or two people. You know, again, like somebody takes the whole spotlight, you know, and everybody starts worshiping that person, okay? I do believe we live in the days where there's not going to be more like Benny Hinn's, you know, or Ray Harbonkis. I mean, they did what they did in their generation, but times has changed. There is body raising up. God will move through his body, through just regular guys and girls, through youth, through old people, through children. Jesus will be manifesting and revealing himself to this generation. So this is the inheritance that we yet have to step into, okay? And this is what we'll start with the Peter. So we will start building foundation for our word today, okay? So we will start with the first letter of Peter, chapter 1 and verse 4 through 5. It says, we are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, and never diminish. It is promised and preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you. Okay? It is preserved for you. It's not something you have to deserve or something to achieve or something to earn. Through the blood of Jesus, when your heart turned back to him and his blood washed you away, you are eligible for that. This is yours. It's waiting for you until you claim it, until you come to the certain level of maturity to step into it and like operate in your inheritance. Okay, so it is promised and preserved forever in heavenly realm for you through our faith. The mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. And I do believe the Lord wants to heal that in the church. So we stop coming to him as beggars, as orphans, trying to get something out of him for us. Okay? But again, we need to step until the certain level of maturity. So do not underestimate the time of preparation, the time of the process that Holy Spirit is taking you, the situations that you have to deal with. This is part of the maturing process, okay? So, and right now I want to touch up, what is our inheritance now? What you can personally, what do you have now personally, what you can grab hold of and where you can live right now, okay? So we will go to our chapter today, Hebrew chapter 12, verse 22-23. So we will be speaking through this chapter today mainly, okay? So this is our promise, this is for our inheritance, this is yours, this is my personally, this is what you have now, okay? So it says, by contrast, we have already come near to God in a totally different realm. We already read this scripture before, but I just want to like show a different dimension of it, okay? So we already come in totally different realm, the Zion realm. For we have entered the city of the living God, which is New Jerusalem in heaven. We have joined the festal gathering of myriads of angels in their joyous celebration. And as members of the church of the firstborn, all our names have been legally registered as citizens in heaven. And we have come before God who judges all and who lives among the spirits and righteous who have been made perfect in his eyes. So let's break down this scripture so you will see what you already have access to and where you actually supposed to be living out of as right now, this moment. So first, Apostle Paul, we believe it was written by Apostle Paul. It's not proven, but most people believe it was Apostle Paul who wrote it. Okay, so first, he talks about Zion realm. Okay, so he says, we already have come to the Zion realm. Okay, what is the Zion realm? It's the manifested presence of God. This is the manifested throne room of God. And the writer says, we already have come. As soon as you said yes to Jesus, as soon as you gave your life to him, as soon as his blood was sprinkled over you, you already have come to the Zion realm. It's legally yours. You are born to operate from the supernatural realm, from the heavenly realm, okay? We're given straight access. So it means any moment, any time, you can, in your spirit, you can be there at any moment, in your car, at your work, at your home, in any park, anywhere, okay? You can be accessing the Zion realm, the supernatural manifested presence of God. This is where he dwells, okay? And also, when you access this Zion realm, you accessing the throne room, and you are given automatically ability to see in a spirit, to hear in a spirit, and to understand. You're given the knowledge of what's going on. So you're given permission to tap into the spirit and bring that to earth. So things will start change. So when you release that to earth, things will start manifesting in the natural. Okay, this is why we need to go through the throne room before we sing, before we preach, before we pray, before we minister. We need to operate from the throne room. And also with that, you are given the role of the priest to minister unto the Lord. And this is the problem. You see, a lot of people, their mentality, they are still full of guilt because of mistakes, because of failures, you know? Because like you think, oh, I messed up so much. I am not worthy to be used by God. How like glory of God can be moved through me if I just yelled at somebody or just I cut off somebody at the road, you know? Or these things coming out, like I got angry at someone. How can Lord like still use it? And this is exactly what devil wants you to believe. He wants you to, it's not like you are living here on earth and you're trying to get into heavenly realm. You knock on the door and wait until somebody will open the door for you. No, you live from that place already. And when you make mistakes, when you mess up, you don't get kicked out from that place. You know, it's stamped by Jesus. It's stamped by his blood. It's not by your own work. It's not by your own achievements or you lived whole day or whole week and you did not sin. It's not because of that. We will never be worthy to live in the throne room. It's only done through the blood of Jesus. You just need to believe that. You just need to take it by faith. And no matter how bad your day was, no matter what you've done, no matter if you lived it right or not, you need to understand you are part of the throne room. You are part of God's counsel. Do you know what God's counsel is? When He is shares His secrets with you, He made you part of His counsel. There is a book, like one of the prophets, it says, God will not do anything until He reveals this to His prophets. So this is how we, like intercessors, like prophets, this is how they operate. When they get into the presence, when they get to the throne room, and they start hearing in the Spirit, they start seeing in the Spirit, and God would start showing them what He's about to do, what He's doing in the next season, what He wants you to pray about, and then things start manifesting. It means you have been part of His counsel. He shares as a friend. You became His friend, not just, you know, like a beggar or orphan who came and just looking, like seeking for mercy of God because you're, you know, you feel guilty or you feel the shame that is from devil, okay, from the enemy. Okay. So, and you know, when I was given this revelation, my prayers has changed. When my mentality and my thinking started transforming, every time I would start praying, I would start seeing myself as a priest. Every time I would come into the prayer, I wouldn't ask like, Lord, give me this, bless me with this, Lord, interfere in this, I need your help here. I don't pray those prayers anymore. I don't pray about my needs at all, even though I do have needs. But when I come into His presence, I come from different position as from His priest. Like, Lord, how can I minister to you today? How can I bless you today? How can I love you today? What can I do for you today? This is the position of my ministry. I don't come as a beggar. I look at at Jesus. He's my high priest. He's my like head intercessor. So I seek Him. I was like, Jesus, what do you want me? What do you want us to pray about today? And then in the Spirit, I hear His word, like voice. Okay, let's pray about this person today, or let's pray about this situation. Let's pray together. Let's just release. I'm not asking God, please do this and this and that. No, we are His priests. We step into this role because of blood of Jesus. So we carry the word of God. We start releasing. We start prophesying. We start creating new reality together. And you will see when you start praying from this position, you will see how you will start advancing in God. How easy it will be to get into His presence. You will not have to work for it. You will not have to strive for it. And believe me, your mistakes, they will not hinder you. Of course, we're talking about pure hearts. We're not talking about, you know, intentional compromises or, you know, like immorality that you choose to live. No, we are talking like about our daily lives where we do mess up. All of us, we do mess up, okay? Sometimes we don't keep our promises, or sometimes we accidentally gossip. Like, oh, sometimes I have to shut my mouth. Oh my goodness, I think I just gossiped. I need to stop, and I just catch myself like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Unintentionally, we do this, you know, or you joked about somebody and it's offended somebody. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. Now they just don't speak to you anymore, you know. I mean, we do things. It's live, okay? But does it stop me from serving the Lord? Does it stop me from coming into His presence? No, it doesn't change the fact that I'm His priest, that I'm His minister, I'm His vessel, that I am living in the Zion realm. Okay, this is why I have blood of Jesus to wash me away, you know, if something stains me or something, you know, like gets this dirt gets on me. This is why I have His blood. So, and this is where devil, he's not even trying anymore. Like before he would try to shame me, to make me feel worthless, it does not work on me anymore. And he does not even try anymore. It's pointless because I know who I am. I can come here on the worst day of my life. You know, I would go like, would have my worst day, and I would still come to service or to prayer and nobody will even know. Because this is not my reality. My reality is eternal position in Christ. Because I'm seated in heavenly places and nothing can change that. Because all the situations, all of your emotions, all of your drama or trauma, this is all temporary. It will come, it will go away. But your position in Christ is eternal. And nobody can move that or take it away from you. Only you can give it away, okay? And we will talk later how you can do that as well. Okay, let's move. And if you remember, we still are speaking about Zion realm. Do you remember this conversation between Jesus and his disciples in John chapter 14, when Jesus was speaking about his death and resurrection? He was saying, I will go and I will prepare a dwelling place for you, and then I will take you where I am. And remember the question that Thomas asked. He asked Jesus, Jesus, how do we know where are you going? Like, where are you going? Like, Jesus, like, and remember what Jesus said? Basically, he said, you already know. Well, here's like Thomas coming with him, like with this like human logic, like, Jesus, you said you're going to like some place to take, to prepare a place for us. Where is it, Jesus? Show us, like, how do we get there? And remember what Jesus said, you already know. Just read that chapter in chapter 14, and verse 2, 3, and 6. He's like, you already know. And then he says, because I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So your spirit already designed, it's created to be there. And you don't need anybody's help. You don't need to go through the school. You don't need to listen to hundreds of teachings how to access heavenly realm. It's already all placed in you. You just need to get into time of prayer and intimacy, and you will see how Holy Spirit will take over and he will take you there, because it's so different for everyone. Sometimes it could be a song, you know, we all have this like song that triggers something in us that just from the first notes, it just takes us somewhere. And for everybody, it's different song. You know, a lot of times when people would come to me, oh my gosh, you have to listen to the song. Just listen. So it's so much anointing. It just like opens heaven. And I'm listening to it. I was like, okay, I mean, it's a nice song, but I mean, I don't feel like nothing crazy going on. But for that person, the whole encounter is happening. And at the same time, me, like, I would come to my prayer, like with girls, and I was like, you guys, you need to listen. We need to pray for this song. It's going to just take, and I see I'm the only one being carried away, and they were just like, okay, I mean, it's nice. So we all have our like little, you know, the sensors inside of us, and Holy Spirit works differently with each one of us, and he takes us differently. So I cannot teach you how to do that. Pastor cannot teach you how to do that. You just need to discover your own way, how together. You have to try different things. You have to try different like methods, you know, different prayer. Maybe for somebody it's through the praise. Maybe somebody it's through the soaking. Maybe somebody through the worship. Maybe somebody through declaration or whatever. It could be anything. But I guarantee you can find your own way how to how to get to that Zion realm, to the supernatural manifested presence of God. Okay. Okay. So that was part of, we were talking about Zion realm. This is part of our inheritance. So the next one. We're still staying in Hebrews 12 and verse 22. It said there that we also, after Zion realm, it says, we also have entered the city of living God, which is New Jerusalem in heaven. Okay, I just want to stop here a little bit. So this is another part of our inheritance. We have entered a New Jerusalem. When I was growing up with this understanding that New Jerusalem, it's a heavenly place, and when our lives on earth are done, this is the city where we'll be living with God in eternity. I was like, was I alone? Anybody else think that way, or did you guys have different relation about it? Okay, I think I was the only one, but it's okay. I'll just share you my thoughts. So I thought that New Jerusalem, like, oh, it's just something that we will enter after we die and we spend the eternity with Jesus. But why does, in Hebrews says that we already have entered New Jerusalem while living on earth? How can we be there, right? And I did find that answer in Revelations. Revelations 21, verse 1 to 3, it says, when John was describing his vision, he saw New Jerusalem, and this is how he describes it. He says, in the vision I saw a new heaven and new earth. The first heaven and earth had passed away, and the sea no longer existed. And he says, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of the heavenly realm from the presence of God, like a pleasing bride that had been prepared for her husband, adorned for the wedding. And I've heard thunderous voice from the throne saying, look, God's tabernacle is with human beings, and from now on he will be tabernacle with them as their God. Now God himself will have his home with them. Have you noticed when John sees the New Jerusalem, he comparing it to the bride who has been prepared for the husband? How can the city be a bride? You know, does it hint you on something? And then it actually got to me. We are the New Jerusalem. We are the dwelling place. We are the one who are being prepared and perfected for the wedding, for the final, come of Jesus to revelation of Jesus to the world. We. So the New Jerusalem, this is the place of intimacy that is only reserved and accessible for bride of Christ. Okay, and so you were chosen to be dwelling place, and how can you, so when you come up to the presence of God, when you see yourself as his bride, as his holy city, his tabernacle, I promise you, your prayers will change. You will not beg anymore. You will forget about your problems. And you know what I have noticed? When I took focus off my problems and I stopped asking God to interfere and to solve certain things and to, you know, resolve certain things, I have noticed he would step in and he would start taking care of my areas by himself. So I do not pray about my needs at all. Only those like at times when I feel like I need to declare or prophesy something, or, you know, I need, you know, certain breakthroughs. But those are like not many moments. Most of it, Lord, how can I minister to you? How can I make my my dwelling place more pleasant for you, where you can enjoy to be? It's like my secret garden. How can I be more, how can I love you more? What else can I do? This is my prayers, okay? Okay, also in verse 22, in the same Hebrews 12, it's another part. It says, we have joined the festal gathering of myriads of angels in their joyous celebration. So what are they celebrating there? Like, I mean, it's interesting. When I was reading that scripture and I had the worst day of my life, you know, when everything goes wrong, you know, and you feel like all hell breaks loose on you and you're just beaten up in the spirit and you're just exhausted. And I read that we have joined the festal gathering of myriads of angels in their joy celebration. Like, Lord, what are you celebrating? I feel miserable. I feel horrible. I have nothing to celebrate about, okay? I messed up, and I did feel guilty at the time. So I was in that situation because I opened certain doors, and I've done certain things I should have not done. And I was, you know, dealing with consequences of that. And like, Lord, but then, and then like, Lord would tell me to read the scripture, and I was like, what are you celebrating? And it says in Revelation 19, verse 6 through 7. So this is what they celebrate. Revelation 19, 6 through 7. Then I've heard what seemed to be a thunderous voice of the great multitude, like the sound of massive waterfall and mighty peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt him and give him glory, because the wedding celebration of the Lord, of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. You see, when John, when he was seeing that vision, He saw us things already complete and they happened. Okay? So while you are sitting in misery, depressed, heaven doesn't see that. They see the completion of you. They already celebrating the union of you and the Lamb. Heaven already celebrating. And here we are trying to remind our God how, you know, how bad we are, how we're not worthy, and we're trying to convince him and himself. We're giving them tons of reason why he shouldn't use us, or why we should should be able to access his presence as we used to before, or like whatever, you know. But heaven already celebrates, because heaven lives outside of time. God lives outside of time. Your spirit lives outside of time. Yes, your emotions, your thoughts, your flesh. Yes, we're stuck in this body. We're stuck in the flesh. And yes, we go through like painful moments. But our spirit is already there. This is why Jesus said that in the Bible, it says we already are seated in heavenly places. We will not sit until we get to heaven and then we'll take. No, we already are on the thrones, even though we live here earthly lives. But we already are seated, and heaven already celebrating us. So I just want to speak to you today. Come out of your misery and start celebrating your completion, your wedding with the Lamb. It's just here it did not happen yet, but in heaven it already happened. Okay, and heaven already knows your final point. You don't know it yet. You like don't see it yet, but heaven knows. And you start celebrating on your worst day when this depression is trying to, you know, press on you. Just remind devil who you are. Were you in Christ, and what's waiting for him, and what's waiting for you? Remind him of the wedding with the Lamb that is coming. Oh, believe me, depression will leave fast. Oh, devil does not like to be reminded of that. Okay. All right, we will keep moving. The truth number three, the another part of inheritance that we have right now, it's also the same chapter 12, verse 23. It says, and as members of the church of the firstborn, all our names have been legally registered as the citizens of heaven. Okay, so Paul also says that we already been members of his church. You know, when I was like before my renewed mind, when I was reading the scripture, and I would because the only model of the church that we've seen is like earthly church, right? We see like one minister or a pastor, and we see the, you know, big crowd of people who come to church, like sitting, listening, and going home. And I was like, Lord, is this how your church is going to look in heaven? Is this what your church is like? And then when I actually start digging, and I found about the word ecclesia, when the writer was writing in Hebrews, we are the members of the church. We are members. Remember, we talked about it before. We're members of ecclesia. Not just church when you come, you go, and nobody know, and you don't really bring any difference. No, we automatically through his blood, we are given access, we're given right to be part of ecclesia. Ecclesia is the group of people. It's the governing body. It's the it's a governmental branch, okay, who will impact, who will change the culture, who will change the direction where culture is going. Okay, we are given this ability, we're given this power, okay, to be ecclesia. And I do believe we are stepping into times where church, as of now, it's not being popular. And church has been like persecuted, even in America, even in United States. It's amazing, like you guys seen what happened this summer in Cal Anderson Park in Seattle, right? When church, you know, came out to worship in a park, and what happened there—the violence, aggression. So it's like this is the time when church is, yes, it's being mocked and persecuted in some way. But I know the time is coming, and I do believe it's very close, where church, just like in the day of Acts, remember when the power of God was moving so radical and so powerfully, everybody was afraid of the church. Do you remember when Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied before God, and they were just physically, they would be dead in the presence of God because there was so much holiness, there was so much purity, so much glory, that even little act of immorality, that it could not be in the presence of God. And it says, like, after that, the fear fell on all people around. Church was respected. People knew. Church, it's not something to be messed with. And I know we are coming back to this time when Christ will be manifested so much, we will bring a culture of heaven back into our generation, where it will be popular to read Bible in public places, where it will be popular again to pray in public places, where it will be popular to be to keep yourself pure before the marriage, when it will be popular to stay married to one person, you know, for the rest of your life, when it be popular to be faithful to one person for the rest of your life. You know, I will be, it's coming, I believe it's coming back. The church will dictate the atmosphere and the temperature for the culture, because the difference will be so significant. It will be so visible on people who walk with Christ and what is manifested through them, and that level of God's power and presence of authority. Church will be feared, I mean, in a good way, by demons, by darkness. Darkness will be terrified of the church that is stepping. And I know, guys, we're getting there. This is why we've been through these seasons of training, purification, like pruning, like all of the situation, like, you don't understand, why am I going through this? Like, what am I paying price for? You don't understand. No, He is getting you ready, because Jesus wants to walk on this earth through you, okay? And I do believe right at this time, when we talk about like the body of Christ, the like corporate body, remember, we were reading about Ezekiel chapter 47 when angel was measuring the levels of water. And I do believe right now we are in waist deep when we are learning how to walk in our personal victories, when we conquering our like personal giants. But I know the next level is coming, when the Spirit will take over. When you're gonna go so deep, you will not feel the bottom anymore. This is the Spirit of God. He fully controls your life. He fully directs, and He can do whatever He wants. So people have no control of it anymore. I know we're getting there. This is our next level. Okay. Yes. Let's see. Keep moving. I'm sorry, I'm trying to move quick because there's so much to say and so little time. Okay. Okay. Just want to make sure I covered all my points I wanted to say in this segment. So, yes, so if you think, like, you know, some I get asked sometimes, like, why church doesn't have so much power? Why darkness is like moving, and we see so much manifestations of darkness? Where is the church? Why church is not in full, like, just wait. Let the church is maturing, because God is maturing each single one of us, so He will move through His body. So do not underestimate, do not neglect the time of preparation. It's so crucial, it's so important, okay? So now I want to move to the next part of this word. So how do we get hold of it, about these inheritances, right? So how do we grab on it? How do we have access, and how do we actually possess it, and how we can apply in our lives? There are certain steps that Word of God gives us, and they are also in the same chapter, but they are going to be above. Okay, so we will go to the same chapter, but we will go to verse 2. So God gives us actually keys. Okay, what do you have to start with? What is my first step? Okay. So Paul, I believe it was Paul, so I will call the writer the Paul. So he gives us this key number one in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He says, we look away from the natural realm, and we focus our attention and expectation unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Okay, so key number one, we need to make sure we look away from natural realm and focus our attention on Jesus. Okay, so how do we do that? You might say, I was like, well, how do I take my focus away from natural? I live in the natural. I have to go to work. I have to pay my bills. I have to deal with, you know, mean people. You know, I have to like deal with pressure. Like, how do I, you know, get away from that? But I just want to ask you, what do you feed yourself up? What do you fill your day with? Do you know when I just give you from my life example, even being busy, you know, with work, with kids, grocery shopping, cooking, you know, driving to church, like, you know, it is possible to stay, to be focused in heaven, because it, like, what do you fill up yourself with? I know we've talked about it before. It's very simple, but one of the most overlooked steps. What do you surround yourself with? Like, when I look at your YouTube, what's the first thing you will come on your feed? Okay. What are you playing when you're like working out in gym or going for a walk? What's playing in your AirPods? Okay. What do you talk about when you get together with friends? You know, I used to be friends with one girl, and she was used to go to a different church, like one of the local Slavic churches here. And she was telling me, I was like, and she was like at the time in the place of hunger, and she was seeking God, and she was looking for home groups, and she was invited to the home group in her church. And she's, and I came, and she's like, Lana, do you imagine what we did at home group? I'm like, what? We watched Bachelor. We watched Bachelor, and then we were just like, this is like, are you kidding me? This is like what they do at home groups these days? To me, it's like so wild. I was like, how do you even call this like home group, you know, where you're supposed to come and see God and fill up His fire, His presence? But this is the reality of churches. And she was like, I don't want to go to that church anymore, you know? Yes, they have nice services. They have nice worship. They have nice songs, and everything is just like so proper. But when you go to the cell groups, to one of these people, you get to watch Bachelor and drink mojito. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, and this is like really tells you about spiritual condition of the church, of the Christianity. And then we're asking, like, Lord, why are you not moving through this church? Why church doesn't have any power? Because we all look, you know, beautiful in like on a stage, on a video, on through the, you know, through the stream. But when you get to the inner life, you know, where actually you're not on the stage, what's inside? You know, what do you fill up yourself with? And I remember when I was like in the place of my most hunger, I would seek the Lord. I've like every moment I would find, I would go pray. I would think about Him. If I could not pray, I would just, you know, listen to His word or the worship. There's something would play that would bring His presence, atmosphere where I was at the time. And there were times it took over so much. I remember myself, I was just shopping in Target, you know, going through the aisles, you know, looking at stuff. And I did not even notice how I started praying in tongues. Like, it was just like, you know, it just took over me. I'm like walking, looking at stuff and praying in tongues. And then I just like realized, like, why there's no people in aisle with me anymore? I feel like even though it was crowded, but there's like, wherever I go, there's no people. And I just realized how I looked from the side, but I don't care, because spirit would overflow. I would doing like earthly things, but spirit would be alert. He would be praying. He would be communicating with God even. So it's very easy. You can live earthly life and to be connected to heaven no matter what you are, or no matter where you are. So, and how else you can look away from natural realm? How much do you spend time by, you know, beholding Jesus, by spending in His presence? Where do you go first when the storm comes into your life? When something happens, when you like your foundation is shaking and things coming against you, where do you go? Do you run to your phone to, you know, call your best friend and asking for human support? Or are you just running to your prayer closet, get on your knees and just seeking strength from Him? Okay, so This is what key number one. We need to look away from the natural, because the more time we spend into heavenly reality, the more we start to think like heaven, see like heaven, the more these outside factors, they don't affect us anymore. Even though in natural your situation has not changed, or you did not get your answer, it does not affect you anymore, because you don't live by this reality. It does not affect you. Okay. Key number two. How else, what's the next step to access to our inheritance? How we can unlock, I would say, how you can unlock. Okay, another key. It's in verse 5. It's also Hebrew 12, verse 5. Paul says, "And have you forgotten his encouraging words spoken to you as his children? He said, 'My child, do not underestimate the value of discipline and training of the Lord God.'" Another crucial point, discipline, okay? Because there will be times where your flesh will not want to pray. And there will be times where your flesh will not want to read the word. You're not going to be in a mood, or you might be going through this. And a lot of people, you know, they are deceived. And of course, enemy will sow your seed. What's the point of you going to pray now? I mean, you don't feel his presence. You don't really have desire. It's not going to be from the heart. It's just going to be fake. Just wait until you get that desire again, and then you will come and from the bottom. And that's exactly he wants you to do. And once you skip once, you skip twice, you skip three times, and then the hunger is gone. Your fire is gone. Okay, and then it's going to take for you like more effort to start that fire burning, okay? Because we need to understand, our flesh never wants to pray. Our flesh, like flesh, never wants to read the word, because your flesh knows this is where it dies. This is where the flesh power over you stops right there. It cannot dictate its desires over you anymore. No matter how you feel, like emotionally or no matter how your soul feels, your spirit is always nurturing. If either you feel it or not, you feel dry, start praying in tongues. Your spirit will be nurtured. Your spirit senses will be sharpened. You will get more knowledge. You will get more clarity. You feel dry, go fast, at least one day. You know, I will go fast, Lord, because I'm going to humble myself to you. I don't rely on my feelings. I'm going after you no matter what. You will see how he's going to start taking you deeper, and you will be experiencing his manifested presence. Okay, just because you don't feel anything, it doesn't mean your spirit is not growing and your spirit is not eating from him. Because, you know, we all want to be look fit and beautiful. We all want to have six packs, right? But how many of us willing to get up every day at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. and go to the gym and, you know, do those sit-ups or crunches? How many of us willing? We all want to, you know, look nice, right? But how many are willing to pay the price? Same thing in the spirit. We all want to be anointed, moving in glory. The Lord is just, you know, touching people through us. But how many of us willing just to give our time for him, just to spend our time with him, to go deeper and dig at the times when you don't want to dig? Okay, so discipline is very crucial to unlock your inheritance. Okay, key number three. We're almost done. Okay, key number three. In verse 7 and 8, we're continuing Hebrews chapter 12, 7 and 8. Paul says, "Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training, for he is doing what any loving father does to his children. For who has ever heard of a child who never been to be corrected?" We all should welcome God's discipline as the validation of authentic sonship. For if we have never once endured his correction, it only proves we are strangers and not the sons. So sometimes you will go through the battle that your neighbor will never go through. And there is even a saying, they say, God allows toughest battles to his toughest soldiers. I think it goes something like that, yeah? So when you going through the pressure, it doesn't mean that you got away from His presence or God doesn't love you because things are not going the way you wanted to go. No, this is the proof, because He is exposing things from your heart. He is addressing things you need to start changing, because if this situation didn't come, you would never see what's hiding in the dark. So He has to address. So you have to be willing to get pruned and to get corrected. And sometimes you will be shocked yourself what things can start coming out of you. But this is not to disappoint you. This is not to make you feel bad about yourself. It's about to take you deeper, because Holy Spirit, He's like, okay, this season, we're gonna have to take care of this, because this is what hindering you from going to the next level. Do you know why, like, so many people were given an opportunity to be the part of this house? And so many people I personally know, if I start counting them, like, two hands will not be enough. People with potential, like anointing, giftings, they were given an opportunity to be part of this house. And at different times, they were not able to handle when the Holy Spirit would start address and like unclean motives of their hearts. And they would refuse to deal with it. So it was just easier to leave the presence of God and to go in the place where you're not getting challenged, where you're not getting, when God does not speak to you about your issues, but it's just easier to pretend that they're not there. So this is very sadly, but people who I loved and people who I still miss sometimes, I wish they were here, because we've been going through so much things together, great things, you know, battles and victories, a lot of things. But at some point, when time has come to address certain things so they could move to the next level with us, they refused. And right now they're nowhere. They lost their inheritance because of this compromise, because of refusal to be corrected and to be addressed. Yeah, they could have great, great future if they were. They had influence on them. They had depth and weight on them when they were here. So this is very sad. This is easy. You can refuse your inheritance just like that. Okay, so, and I know every time we go through from glory to glory, from strength to strength, on every level, Holy Spirit will show us things that need to be addressed at that moment before you enter the new level of depth, okay? So pay attention. Do not ignore that, because believe me, you want to progress. You don't want this to be your ceiling, right? We want to go higher. We want to get everything we can on this earth, everything that, you know, we cannot get access to, we want to do it. Otherwise, what's the point of living, you know? Yeah. Okay. Key number four. Okay. There's two more keys. So key number four, verse 12 and 13 in Hebrews 12, it says, so be made strong in your weakness by lifting up your tired hands in prayer. So you will come at time of your life, you will be tired. You will be exhausted spiritually, okay? But this is your key. Lift up your tired hands in prayer and worship, and strengthen your weak knees. For as you keep walking forward on God's paths, all your stumbling's way will be divinely healed. So this is the key, how to break through, how to unlock your inheritance: prayer and worship. Worship, I would say, even in our intercession ministry, worship is the biggest weapon that we use and that never fails us. Every time, we never start praying until we get into praise and worship. Sometimes when we cannot get, we like in the battle and warfare, and sometimes we feel like we cannot break through, we start worship and something shifts, atmosphere changes. This is where you get strength for. If you feel like you're weak, you're burned out, you're exhausted, start worshiping. Just turn on your music, like, or somebody hurt you, especially at the times when you don't want to worship. when you just want to cry on somebody's shoulders and complain how hard is your life and, you know, how everybody's unfair to you and how like nobody gets you, start worshiping. Really, it's been proven. I guarantee you guys, it will unlock something in your personal walk. You will get your breakthrough. A lot of battles are won through the worship. You don't even have to pray a lot. You don't even beg God, God, please come and change. No, start worshiping, especially when you bring yourself a sacrifice, when you want to cry and everything hurts inside and you start worshiping out of your pain. That is like, this is like, it just moves heaven like nothing else. Do you remember the story of Paul and Silas when they were for evangelizing, for spreading gospel? Do you remember when they got caught and they were beaten up and then they were locked in the prison, right? Halfway in dung, right? Halfway in dung. That's how the prisons used to be back in the time. Can you imagine? It's so smelly. It's dark. It's nasty. It's so uncomfortable. And they're in pain because they have these wounds from beating up. And what did they start do? They start worshiping. They start worshiping. They start praising God. And an act says that, and everybody heard them. And what it caused? It caused the walls to break and walls to fall down. This is your key. This is where you get your strength from worship. Start worshiping, okay? Because worship will make heaven move on your behalf. You will start seeing breakthrough. And the last key I want to give you, how to unlock your inheritance, how to step into it and start accessing and possessing. Verse 16, 17. Paul says, be careful that no one among you lives in immorality, becoming careless about God's blessings, like Esau that traded away his rights as the firstborn for a simple meal. And we know that later on, when he wanted to inherit his father's blessing, he was turned away, even though he begged for it with bitter tears, for it was too late to repent. So purity is very important, walking in purity. You cannot access your inheritance, your blessings, if you live double life, if you live in compromise, okay? Because this is what Esau did. When, remember his brother Jacob, when he wanted to steal his inheritance as a firstborn, and he knew the weakness of Esau. Esau loved to eat. He loved yummy food. And that's exactly what Jacob, he was like a thief at that time. He knew how to get to him. He brought him exactly what he wanted. Not money, not gold, like no beautiful girl. No, he wanted to eat. The man liked to eat, you know? And he brought exactly what he wanted to. And he was just so easy, gave away. This is exactly what we do when we live in immorality. When we live in compromise, we automatically close heaven. We shut heaven above us. And then when you start asking why there's no protection, why I feel like demons can come and they can torment me emotionally. I'm being robbed in my areas, you know. I feel alone. I feel depressed. All of these attacks. I cannot sleep at nights. I have these nightmares. Like different things you can unlock, like bad things in your life by living immorally or impure lives. So this is how we can give away our inheritance. Okay. And then until you get right with God, until you repent and turn back to Him for real, you know, then you will have access to your inheritance again. So I don't want to keep you for too long. I will stop right here. I just pray that when you go home, let's just stand up. And my desire for you, when you go home, you will start seeing yourself differently. You will start understanding that there is inheritance that is waiting for you to take possession of. That for some of you, maybe some of them you already start possessing. Some of them, maybe some of you did not even unlock part of it, and you still come as the beggar, as the orphan, trying to beg something from heaven that God does something for you. So I pray that you will just come out of that mentality. You are His priest. You are like through the blood of Jesus, you have access to the Zion realm. You have access to see, to know, to understand, to move, and to bring His reality to earth. So this is why I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are so faithful and that you are preparing us and you're purifying us, that you're working within us, that you are unlocking truths to us, Lord, so we can live in the fullness of Christ. Because as part of our inheritance, we were promised to live in fullness of Christ, to walk in fullness of God. We thank you, Jesus, that you're preparing your church, that you're raising up your army, you're raising up, your bride is being awakened. Your bride is being awakened, Lord. We thank you for your bride. We thank you for the inheritance. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to renew our minds and teach us how to access it, how to get there without any hindrances, Lord. And we thank you that you're healing your bride. I know we're getting into the place where your church will be walking in authority, in power, and it will be as a governmental body on this earth. It will not be defending itself, but it actually will be attacking. It will be conquering more and more spiritual territory until we see Spirit of God moving on this earth without limitation. And I do believe, guys, we are this generation. I believe that we will see it with our own eyes before we leave this earth. I just believe it. I just strongly believe it. So this is why when God starts showing what He is about to do, you just want to pray even more. You just want to get more into His presence because you are creating with Him. You're creating new reality with your prayers, with your songs, with your melodies, with your music, with your preaching. We're creating new reality. And soon the Spirit of God will take over. So I want to bless you with this word. Thank you for being patient and listening to the whole message. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Let's just give glory to God. He's good, He's good. Just thank Him for your inheritance. Just thank from the bottom of your heart. Thank you, Jesus, that we live in these times, that we know this truth. Do you know, just like little side note, I remember, it's not part of preaching, but I just want to share. You can sit down. In my early teens, I grew up in charismatic church, okay? And I've seen how at the time church was trying to move in the promises of God and proclaiming, prophesying, declaring, and we even like danced like dance of victory, and we even danced on the, you know, Satan's head, and we ate giants as a bread, and we did all of that, and nothing worked, you know, like people would still, you know, be depressed, and like all we did just, you know, like lose our voices and dance, that's it. But I know at that time people did not get to certain truths that we have today. So this is why I know things are changing. Prophesy, yes, amen. So I know we're completely different time, and I know it's just gonna get better. Okay, I'm done. Thank you guys. Have a blessed Sunday, have a blessed week. Happy Thanksgiving to you all, and have great time with your families, with your loved ones. Spend time with them, because I know we're so busy. This is the beautiful time of the year. We actually can do that. Blessings. And we'll see you next Sunday, right? Next Sunday, 9 o'clock in the morning for Russian service and 12 p.m. for English service.